As a public service, this station will present
Bob's Atomic Slack Time Funhouse.
The special documentary will tell the story of the birth of the atomic age. The once top secret events that took place will be described in a special documentary over this station. You'll hear the actual voices of the leading scientists on the project, their thoughts and recollections. Listen for the dramatic story of the world's first controlled nuclear chain reaction. You won't want to miss it. Coming soon over this station.
This could be bad advice.
That's great.
The program you are about to hear, Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
This station, in cooperation with Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, presents Atomic Year 25, a silver anniversary documentary on the birth of the atomic era, an event that changed the course of man's life. Scientists achieved a nuclear chain reaction. Matter had been changed into energy in a dramatic transformation. No other event has revolutionized both war and peace in such an impressive way. The atom, a potential as we know for war, but also for man's good, for use in exploring space, combating diseases, and providing power for home and industry. Here then is the story of the world's best-kept wartime secret, as we look back on it from Atomic Year 25.
As if it's later than you think. Horrible events are just around the corner. Many at this point of the message are probably inquisitive as to what may bring such a system into immediate existence.
Touché.
The atomic age was not born overnight. There was talk of nuclear power in the early 30s.
Whatever. The first government funds were set aside for investigating the possibilities of making an atomic bomb. Secret experiments got underway at many university campuses. A group of chemists discovered a new element, its given name, plutonium,
Dr. Glenn Seaborg, now chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, was a co-discoverer of this element.
Plutonium has a tremendous potential for peaceful uses.
How do we know that?
It is the fissionable isotope that is produced from the abundant uranium isotope, uranium-238.
But in Washington tomorrow, I'll be discussing it with the proper people. That's all I can tell you.
Then he hung up.
Very shortly after my... there was a meeting scheduled in Washington in theoretical physics, and with the interest and attention of the meeting immediately focused on the new development, what they understood about the process and its significance. Of course, this sent various scientists running to the laboratory to confirm the result, and excited the news reporters very much when they began to sense the wide implications that this new development might have for the world.
What you think this world is coming to? What you think the man is going to do? I got the nothing I can do about it. Paranoia, nuclear blue.
There will be a great tribulation period of time when the Russians move down from the north to meet the Egyptians, and God Almighty destroys those armies and those soldiers with fire out of heaven. And the Chinese move in with a foot soldier army of 200 million soldiers, and the Antichrist and the League of Nations behind him go against the communists. All of this surrounding, all this taking place in Palestine. And at that time, it looks like atomic bombs and atomic energy will be used, and one-third of the people on this earth are going to be killed at the height of the battle of the war, the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah! Maroon alert, or even vermilion.
Well, the significance of plutonium for the war effort was, of course, its use as the explosive ingredient in the nuclear weapon.
Yes, gentlemen, for the sake of our country and our way of life, I suggest you get the rest of SAC in after that. Otherwise, we will be totally destroyed by red retaliation. So let's get going. There's no other choice. God willing, we will prevail in peace and freedom from fear and in true health through the purity and essence of our natural fluids. God bless you all. And he hung up. We're still trying to figure out the meaning of that last phrase.
Whatever. The U.S. Army engineers were now taking charge of the bomb work, and the entire venture was given the code name Manhattan Project.
As the reviewing committee left, I picked up the phone and called Dr. Cornett at Cambridge. He knew of the critical experiment on which we were engaged, but he hadn't expected results quite so soon. We talked in, as usual, in an extemporaneous wartime code.
Hello?
I tell you what now, man, and I'm lying out when I went in there, man. And then I'm lying out. The horror. The horror.
He knew he had a job to do, and the problems were enormous.
This is the destructive power we pray God we will never be called upon to hurl at any nation. But should it become necessary, let us not hesitate, because it is foreign to our nature to use the power which has been given us.
So what do you say?
Fair enough.
The scientists came.
Here they come.
Hey, where do I get my grenades at?
Well, they don't have them group toilets here no more, do they?
A select group working hand in hand on one of the nation's most urgent projects.
My dear Professor Strauss.
Who are you?
Just call me Bob.
Bob is my only hope. Back off and give him some room to think.
Thinking so fuzzy that it defies description. If I will use the crude terminologies and idiosyncratic terms, we've got more half-baked, crazy, ridiculous, stupid.
20 years ago, I was banned from my homeland. I was classed as a madman, a charlatan, outlawed in the world of science, which previously honored me as a genius. Now, here in this forsaken jungle hell, I have proven that I am all right.
Yeah, right.
And in those hands, the unknown power of the atom, soon to be unleashed.
letting all the ships on all the oceans drop down to the bottom. It will not blow out the bottom of the seas and let all the water run down the hole. It will not destroy gravity. I am not an atomic playboy.
Living like an animal, the jungle is my home. But I shall show the world that I can be its master. I shall perfect my own race of people, a race of atomic supermen that will conquer the world.
You still got it, Bob.
Would almost be criminal attitude on his part. Now, we look at the nuclear bomb, and we look at the laser beam, and we look at the hideous weapons that man has developed in these last days, and this is a grim indication of the ease with which the human race can now be exterminated by our own hand.
That's great.
But Christian teaching tells us just exactly how God is going to prevent this.
God has no place within these walls, just like facts have no place within organized religion.
Right on! Right on!
Scientists concerned with the project concluded that, in theory, a pile of graphite and uranium could be assembled so as to support a chain reaction. And in this process, a portion of the uranium would be converted to fissionable plutonium, and that the plutonium, in turn, could be used in a weapon.
Once that has been taken care of, the invention quickly becomes so indispensable that we couldn't get rid of it even if we wanted to. Nuclear bombs are a good example. The world really didn't need nuclear bombs. Mankind had managed to get along all right without nuclear bombs for a long, long time. But as soon as the atomic bomb was invented, it was used. And as soon as it was used, it became obvious that such weapons were dreadful in the extreme. And of course, as soon as we realized how dreadful nuclear bombs were, they became totally indispensable. World leaders have been trying to think of some way not to have nuclear bombs ever since, but have failed. We won't have it because we need it. We'll need it because we have it.
Mustang Sally got no place to ride. Tambourine Man got no place to hide. I got to talking to myself about it. Premonition nuclear blues. People all around me singing, yeah.
Yes, gentlemen, they are on their way in, and no one can bring them back.
Excellent.
My boys will give you the best kind of start, 1,400 megatons worth, and you sure as hell won't stop them now.
Maybe, but we don't have the proper equipment.
Mm.
Right, Bob?
Yeah, the only thing he lacks is a little humanity.
It's funny because it's true.
What's this?
It's a list of the equipment that Bob and I'll need.
What?
Listen, if the man who got a dolphin to ask permission before pissing in his pool needs a lot of equipment, he needs a lot of equipment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
A once top-secret letter stated, "Laboratory evidence is convincing that a suitable structure of pure uranium and graphite should result in a chain reaction which would become self-sustaining if enough material were used."
Somebody, somewhere in the government has a record of this information. What happens if this data that's being collected gets into the wrong hands? There is no reason to believe that someone won't come along at some point in the future to abuse it. Strange, is it not? Well, it's on the way. The equipment is being built at breakneck speed.
It was fairly clear that the real problem in establishing a chain reaction was the absorption of the neutrons produced in fission. the absorption by impurities. It was nip and tuck as to whether or not one would be able to get a chain reaction with just normal uranium and any sort of moderator.
Oh, nuts.
Baba, I think I got a little problem.
That's great.
Meanwhile,
in his throne room, the ruler of Arak, a small kingdom in the Sahara Desert, angrily faces a foreign visitor.
America will no longer rob us of our precious calamite.
Your Majesty, only 6 months ago you signed an agreement to sell your entire production of calamite to the United States. I don't understand.
Enough! I will not sell calamite to your warlike nation to help you bring about an atomic war. It goes instead to defend the peace-loving countries of Eastern Europe from your mad aggression.
Zing!
But King Gamal...
And this audience is at an end. Go!
We've got to find out what happened. That calamite is vitally important.
Calamite? What's calamite, Oscar?
Calamite is a rare ore, 20 times richer in uranium than the richest pitch blende.
Uranium?
Uh-huh.
That's what's used to fuel atomic power plants, isn't it?
Yes, and build atomic and hydrogen bombs. Arak is the only place in the world where calamite's been found. Whichever side has Arak's calamite has an important advantage in peace or war.
You can say that again.
Whichever side has Arak's...
What's the plan?
Well, both of us are returning to Arak with Ambassador Cole. You're to be his new secretary.
Yes, sir.
Get ready. We take off in an hour.
You've got to be kidding.
I was in the airport in Washington, D.C. I was going through a magazine rack, and I saw a magazine with the face of a clock pictured on the cover. They had the hands of the clock set at 11. A caption ran across the face of the clock stating, "Scientists give the human race one more hour to go before she destroys herself." Sometime later, I was in the same airport, going through the same magazine rack, saw the same magazine, and had the same face of the clock on the cover. I wondered why they would duplicate that cover. My mind went back years ago when I had seen that for the first time, but this time I noticed they had set the hands of the clock at 5 minutes until 12. And the caption that ran across the face of the clock stated, "Scientists give the human race 5 more minutes to go before she destroys herself."
It's funny because it's true.
I opened that magazine and I read in there where every major city in America, China, and Russia has an intercontinental ballistic missile aimed at its heart. And they told us in that article that these missiles, these warheads, that the missiles are carrying have the destructive potential of destroying everything within a radius of 75 miles. One bomb dropped on New York City, Chicago, or any major city would completely vaporize everything within a radius of 75 miles. This is not Frank Buck stuff. This is not fiction stuff. This is where we live today. You talk to men in the Cape Canaveral area. You talk to men in the Oak Ridge area, scientists who are in the know, and these men are shaking in their shoes for fear that someday these terrible, destructive weapons may be used and man will destroy himself.
Oh, of course, that's just for starters.
Hey, Bob is my only hope. Back off.
You still got it, Bob.
He was now directing the construction of our experimental atomic reactor.
Hello, boys and girls, and future scientists. It's time once again for Mr. Wizard and his little friend, Timmy.
My chicken is a star of the show.
Hello, Mr. Wizard.
Well, hello, Timmy. Today, Timmy, we're going to take an old spatula, an inner tube, and some macaroni noodles to make a nuclear reactor.
Gee, Mr. Wizard, aren't nuclear reactors dangerous?
No, Timmy, but old spatulas are. They can poke your little eyes out. So I'll have to ask you to wear these goggles.
Mr. Wizard.
Yes, Timmy.
Remember those diagrams you showed me last week?
Well, I sure do, Timmy.
Well, how do turtles do it?
Timmy, this is science, not a brouhaha.
Brouhaha?
Now, see this glass tube and hose?
Yes, Mr. Wizard.
Know what it is?
A brouhaha?
Wrong.
A bomb?
It's a device I made out of a vase and an old garden hose to demonstrate how different molecules can combine to form a noble gas.
Are we going to discover the secret of life, Mr. Wizard?
We will if we're not careful, Timmy. Now, watch how this flame jumps in a flash when I pass it down on this nozzle.
Right, Mr. Wizard.
Know what it's called?
Jumpin' Jack Flash?
It's a gas, Timmy.
You got it, Mr. Wizard. Get down!
Timmy! Timmy, you knocked over the model brain case on loan from the high school.
Sorry, Mr. Wizard.
What am I gonna tell Mr. Durfee?
Well, I'll pick it up, Mr. Wizard.
Timmy, whatever you do, don't squeeze the brain. Too hard.
Uh-oh.
Now you did it, Timmy. You punctured Our Lady of Fatima's medulla epiglottis.
Oh, I hit my head, Mr. Wizard.
Now, you just clean up that brain, Timmy. The brain is a terrible thing to waste. Don't you forget that. Now, I'll prepare our noodles for nuclear fusion.
Well, I'm going to take this aspirin, Mr. Wizard.
That's not an aspirin, Timmy.
Sure looks like an aspirin.
But it's not, Timmy.
It tastes like an aspirin.
dangerous drugs, Timmy.
I swallowed
Timmy,
it.
That pill was designed to stun buffaloes when mixed with buffalo food.
Oh, wow.
Timmy.
Oh, my God.
Timmy.
Whoa.
That's my tie, Timmy. Timmy.
Timmy. All over the place, Don.
God's sake, sit down, Timmy.
Right, Don.
Let this be a lesson to you, Timmy, and to all of Timmy's little friends out there. Never tamper with the awesome powers of science.
Right.
Science is in your future, Timmy.
Sure.
And the future is in your hands.
And I have to eat with those hands, Don.
Sit down, Timmy.
I am
Timmy.
Sitting, Don.
My name is Mr. Wizard, Timmy.
Right, Don. Well, I really do like this music, Don.
How do you find a miniature reactor in a few square miles? How do you find a guitar string in a vat of spaghetti? Hold it. I see something. Or someone. That man over there with the metal tank on his shirt. It's the kind of identification tag used in nuclear research facilities. You forgot to take it off. Now I tail my careless friend.
The man enters a ramshackle warehouse in a part of the district that already appears completely evacuated.
About time you got back. What does it look like out there?
Everyone is terrified that if the government does not accede to our demands, people whose homes are here will riot across the city.
It was a master stroke to bring a reactor here.
The steel walls of this old truck are keeping any radiation leaks under control, but there are parts where radiation may help Rusty through.
He's been worried about something or other since we ended up on this enterprise.
Does it worry you, Bob?
I worry that...
Suddenly...
What did you do to me? Why did you do to me?
Neighbors say politicians are using the war to their own advantage. All our chief atomic scientists are spies.
Great.
There is no choice in the matter. Let us build the bomb.
The United States of America should immediately begin the construction of the H-bomb.
I feel we must make the H-bomb.
The Russians will try it anyhow. Should they learn the secret of its manufacture before we do, the life and security of all freedom-loving people will be in danger.
It's my opinion that we should fight the war to win rather than try to settle it at the diplomatic table, which is impossible when you're dealing with Russia.
Would you extend your will to win so far as to include the atomic bomb?
Yes, I think that there are several targets we could use. That is, we could destroy them with the atomic bomb, we could destroy them and contaminate them. And then, of course, there are targets that should be destroyed.
There will soon be an end to this cold and wicked war. When those hard-headed communists get what they're looking for, only one thing that will stop them, and they're a ferocious fun. If General MacArthur drops an atomic bomb, they'll be fired just in the middle, flying all around. And the radioactivity will burn them to the ground. If there's any commies left, they'll be all on the run. If General MacArthur drops an atomic bomb.
We must make the H-bomb.
Meanwhile, far below the Earth's surface.
As we built this structure, we made measurements continuously, which told us that we were approaching the chain reaction situation.
Would you listen to the gibberish they've got you saying? It's sad and alarming.
Perhaps you can get better results by more continuous blowing.
What?
Or by longer pauses.
You bastards, we've been planning this for months.
What the fitty for you, fish face? Oh!
You can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Consequently, we took a hard look at what the purity of our materials were. And the impurities present were just spectacular in their nature. They could swallow up neutrons like nobody's business.
This is not an exact art.
Now, there were two areas in which we simply had to get rid of these impurities. One of these was in the uranium. Now, that was half of it. The other half was the graphite in which you embedded this uranium also had to be pure because the neutrons went wandering around all through it. That was what it was there for.
What?
Well, this was a great shock to me.
Me too.
So naive.
And if there were impurities in it, then you were in trouble.
After building up, testing, and tearing down more than 30 different piles, the final configuration of materials was beginning to take shape. Crews worked around the clock to piece together 385 tons of pure graphite, 40 tons of uranium oxide, and 6 tons of uranium metal.
Right on!
What a great come-to-glory emporium.
To enjoy a deluxe moratorium.
What?
There's gonna be a day you're gonna get what's coming to you. You better do as I say and turn the old man to new. There'll be no second chance. You better hurry up, come right on in. Forget your song and your dance. Repent and give up your sin. He's gonna separate the goats from the sheep, so don't fall asleep. You better fill your lamps with oil. He'll take the tares from the wheat, but he'll reserve you a seat with all the other saints that's been so loyal. It won't be very long. You'd be so glad you chose the right way. The saints will sing a new song on that great and final day.
Right on!
And so all over the world, preparation for warfare. They tell us that they have a handle now on the nuclear war edge. Do you really believe they've done away with all their nuclear war edge?
I don't know.
No, my friend. All they've done, they got rid of all the old models.
I don't know.
Isn't it so?
I don't know.
Isn't it so?
I don't know. Gotta nuke something.
The real, very latest, I can tell you, they still have those things. They don't trust each other, my friend. They have enough explosive power right now in the world. For each and every one of us, they have 5 pickup loads, full-size pickup loads of dynamite, TNT. For every person living in the world, they now have 5 pickup loads full of dynamite for every one of us. That is the explosive power that they now have.
You talking about power? This world respects naked, raw power. When you talk about the leaders of Soviet Russia, they respect the lethal end of a gun barrel. That's what they respect. They respect America's gut. They respect America's power. They don't respect our intellect. They could care less for our knowledge and our intellect as far as education and intellect is concerned. They're not interested in it.
It is true.
They respect power. China respects power. Asia respects power.
Are you ready for the great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire ain't from on high? Are you ready for the great atomic power?
Do you hear this man's invention that they call atomic power? Are we all in great confusion? Do we know the time or hour when a terrible explosion may rain down upon our land, leaving horrible destruction, blotting out the works of man?
Are you ready for the great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire ain't from on high?
Are you ready for the great atomic power?
Bye, nuts.
You can speak freely.
Good. My country is prepared to pay you $1 million as agreed as soon as the plans and the working model of the disruptor are turned over to me. When will you deliver?
By 1985.
Very amusing.
The disruptor works. There's no doubt of that.
Perhaps. But before I turn over the money, I want to see the disruptor in action.
Of course. We'll go to the testing lab and you can see for yourself.
Of real estate they destroyed was Edwards Air Force Base.
And to this very day, wing nuts and data reduction clerks alike speak in reverent whispers about that fateful night when test stand number one and the rocket sled itself got lunch. I said lunch.
What is it? What's happening?
The fools. The mad fools.
What is it? What?
The Doomsday Machine.
The Doomsday Machine? What is that?
a device which will destroy all human and animal life on Earth.
Well, you little... How can you look me in the eye and lie like that?
How Russia got the atom bomb, not by independent research, but from America, from traitors within our own ranks.
Oh, my God!
General Turgidson, you assured me there was no possibility of such a thing ever occurring.
Well, I don't think it's quite fair to condemn a whole program because of a single slip-up.
You lied to me!
You've been going on like that all morning.
Two geniuses should never work together.
Our studies show that even the worst fallout is down to a safe level after 2 weeks.
You've obviously never heard of cobalt thorium G.
What?
Cobalt thorium G has a radioactive half-life of 93 years. If you take, say, 50 H-bombs in the 100 megaton range and jacket them with cobalt thorium G, when they are exploded, they will produce a doomsday shroud, a lethal cloud of radioactivity which will encircle the Earth for 93 years.
Ah, it's an obvious common trick, Mr. President. We're wasting valuable time.
It appeared to some scientists on the plutonium production work that the project might be on shaky ground. The committee had been charged with recommending to the government how to proceed with the atomic bomb project. 2 weeks earlier, they had concluded that 500,000 man-years of effort would be required, and they felt that it might well prove to be an impossible task.
What a filthy mess.
It was decided that an airtight cover should be available for the pile. Dr. Anderson sent an unusual order to the Goodyear Company. We need a huge square balloon.
Well, needless to say, a square balloon was something unheard of by the Goodyear Company. They made balloons in all kinds of shapes, but always round. But there was a war going on by this time, and they were beginning to get used to strange requests. Although they were very much mystified, they quite willingly cooperated and turned out to be very helpful and produced a very good square balloon.
Now, let's have no more curiosity about this bizarre cover-up.
And hopefully, we were ahead of the Nazis.
There is but one way the church can prove that, and that is by, now I want to use a term that's strong, to take over the kingdom of this world. To take over China, to take over Russia, to take over Africa, to take over South America, to take over Asia. Yes, yes, even to take over America with its money-grubbing Wall Street, with its great industrial empire, with its slick, smart, sophisticated society. Yes, take over America.
This man is obviously a psychotic.
Well, I'd hold off judgment on a thing like that, sir, until all the facts are in.
Oh, Christ.
You mean to say, preacher, this is really going to happen? Are you balmy in the head? Are you a little bit loose in the upstairs region? Have you taken leave of your senses? Do you think that America is going to just willingly give over the rulership of the kingdoms of this mighty nation to... this is where I'm about to get happy now.
What a bloodbath. As all the armies, revolutionaries, and terrorists of all nations meet for a duel to the finish, can the United Nations peacekeeping force preserve harmony? Never, in the light of God's prophecies. Presently, we are experiencing a lull before the storm. Soon, the tornadoes of judgment will fall. This is especially significant because the Soviet plan to conquer this country is expressed by the formula thermonuclear blackmail leads to progressive surrender. If the Soviets were to launch a surprise attack, I think at least 160 million Americans would die, while the Soviets could probably keep their fatalities to under 5 million.
How do we know that?
Russia is so prepared that every apartment building erected since 1960 has an atomic bomb shelter far below the earth to keep their millions alive during a nuclear war. Cuba is again building toward a crisis as nuclear-laden missiles are being positioned for another war of nerves with our nation. Africa is on the verge of a nuclear arms race with the atomic know-how provided by West German companies. Israel is probably a leader in armaments. She possesses 22 nuclear bombs of tremendous megatonnage. It is estimated that they have secretly stored up some 4,000 pounds of enriched uranium, enough to produce hundreds of apocalyptically powerful nuclear bombs. The USA, too, is heavily stockpiled. In fact, a total of 12,000 nuclear bombs exist in the militaristic centers of the Soviet Union and America combined. The total power of these bombs is 1,300,000 times as great as the first A-bomb dropped on Hiroshima.
That's the only way. Anything else is doomed to failure. Anything else we muddle along and drag along and the world lasts.
All the time, mucky, 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 all the time. Just even me.
Now, the United Nations, this body that tries to solve the problems of the world and make such a dismal failure at it, it's confronted with evils that will destroy civilization unless they're eliminated. America's confronted with those problems. Soviet Russia's and that's when you get right down to it, USA and Russia is about it when it comes to the superpower able to hold the destiny of the life force in their very hand.
I have stretched out my hand and no man regard it. Then I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as the whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then I will mock you.
Now it is Bob's turn to mock. Finally, I will have some justice.
If you ask me, it's the Russians. They've got the bomb, you know. It's no telling what they're up to.
Let me read you a little note that a parent gave me the other day that she found that her child had written to the president. This child in the fourth grade wrote this note full of misspellings and bad grammar. Dear Mr. Reagan, I don't know if I'm stupid or not. Are we going to have World War III? My mom says that she hopes not. My teacher at school says that she is certain that we are. Well, personally, I don't want it neither, but I know we are. Now, think what was done to that child. That child has been taught that she's going to die under the bomb, that there isn't any future, and on top of that, her mother is wrong. That's what the school has taught that child.
There's a strong emphasis on nuclear war and what it would do, and that there's no future, and that they're not going to be able to grow up.
Yes, the parents told about this and the effect that it has on children. For example, some of them who took these nuclear war courses were required to write journals, and one of these outfits published the journals that the children had written. Here are a couple of excerpts from what the high school kids had written in the journal after they took the course. I am very scared, very, very scared, because with a nuclear war, you don't have a chance to survive. I just try not to think about my future because I have a hard time seeing one. Who cares about me? Besides, we're all going to get blown up anyway. It's hard to spend 45 minutes a day talking about dying, and it's depressing. Isn't that pitiful? Do you know the only two courses that are taught for 13 years are nuclear war and sex ed?
The headline reads, Pupils Seek Peace in the Common Fear of War. They were brought together to focus on the nuclear arms issue. It was one of those sunny, near-perfect Saturday mornings when thoughts are supposed to be light and activities leisurely. But in a packed room, a group of 30 American and Soviet children sat together and discussed a dark and chilling subject, the threat of nuclear war. Are you as afraid of nuclear war as we are? Asked Kim. Maybe even more afraid, said Irene. While the need for peace and the disaster of war dominated the two-hour question and answer period, Alexei Paladin, 14, pointed out that the Soviet Union and the United States had been friends before. What do you know about the Second World War? Alexei asked the Americans. No answer. Nobody even knows, he said, that we were allies. We were fighting Nazis together. We remember that war because we lost 22 million people. We want you to know that we were friends then, and we can all be friends now. Afterward, the children were invited to contribute to the Peace Ribbon, a 7-mile-long strip of peace slogans that will encircle the Pentagon in August to mark the 40th anniversary of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The children all agreed they would contribute. Note the irony.
That's what a lot of the world would like. That's what the intellectual would like. That's what the liberal would like. That's what the modernist would like. And really way down inside, they're not wrong, but that won't do it. Russia would gobble us up in a moment's time, and total tyranny and slavery would engulf this world. But you see, whenever goodness holds out its hand, and hold a hand of peace and kindness and meekness and loveliness and tenderness.
Tap!
Yee!
Ooh. Here it is, my friend, like a flag waving, like loudspeakers proclaiming it.
We're living in the very shadow of the mushroom cloud. People's minds become affected. They can no longer take the stresses.
What's the matter, Weingart? Emergency. It's always an emergency. Well, guess I'll see. Got a problem? Lots of people have got a problem this time, Steve. Know that portable nuclear generator our boys at Tech have been working on?
The one small enough to be carried in a van, you mean?
Well, this isn't going to be a secret for long, but a group of terrorists have hijacked it and trained it to the Cape, and they've threatened to hold it for ransom.
My God, Oscar. Those nests can cause a radiation leak without knowing it. Wipe out a few square miles.
That's the basic idea. They want to evacuate some populated area and then sit on the thing. Steve, I'd like you to find it.
Finding a piece of machinery that could be anywhere between Washington and Florida is a nearly impossible job, even for this bionic man who drives his car now in the direction of his home as...
Oh, pawns can't move that way, you stupid arm. Lab.
The telephone rang. It was word from the research team. We're ready to try the critical experiment. I chose the youngest member of this reviewing committee because I thought he would have a longer time to remember what he had seen.
Timmy, this is science!
And we walked over to the laboratory. We entered the balcony at one end of the room.
Did I tell you about the cross that seamstress? She couldn't menstruate.
With his air marshals around him, he said, "Gentlemen, we must do something."
Bob had a goal.
And the plan that was concocted and conceived was labeled Operation Gamora.
Cool.
Looks like we'll hammer at the door of Russia. We'll grasp the oil of the Middle East.
Yay!
That's nice work, Bob. Now give him the rhino tranks.
Go right ahead. Help yourself.
Nearly 1,200 heavy four-engine Lancaster bombers' bellies pregnant with lethal bombs of destruction lifted from tarmacs and runways all over England.
Shoot, that fella can have a pretty good weekend in Vegas with all that stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Giant bombers will take to the air. Jet fighters will scream aloft. Fighters will account for some of the enemy. But some will get through to your home.
Want to make an omelet? You got to break some eggs.
Meanwhile, far below the Earth's surface.
All those here on the deck, Basil Ellis and Donald, stand by to start the Phantom.
On the balcony, a dozen scientists were watching the instruments and handling the controls. Across the room was a large cubical pile of graphite and uranium blocks in which we hoped the atomic chain reaction would develop. Inserted into openings in this pile of blocks were control and safety rods.
You talk about high-tech fighting. When they look, they will die. They will just be consumed by the brightness, gamma rays, whatever rays.
Don't worry about yourselves. As far as the test is concerned, you'll be okay.
Please kill me.
The radiation level may be high, but if you follow orders, you'll be moved out in time to avoid sickness. Finally, if you receive enough gamma radiation to cause sterility or severe sickness, you'll be killed by blast, flying debris, or heat anyway.
It's funny because it's true.
Well absorbed.
Well, that's the story.
All night long, I'm dancing, yeah, yeah, yeah. Myself, I'm crying, yeah, no, no, no. That's a crazy song you're dancing to. Shake your booty, what can you do? No one's gonna listen to you. I got the no one gives a damn about the demolition nuclear blue.
General, have you ever been out of one of these shops before?
Yes, I've had the opportunity to see a number of the atomic tests.
I feel that as a chaplain, it is my responsibility to be with my men.
Did you wear any type of protective clothing, or just what did you
do? No, just regular GI work clothes.
What's it like, chaplain? First of all, one sees a very, very bright light, followed by a shock wave, and then you hear the sound of the blast, and then it seems as though there's a minor earthquake. And then you look up and you see the fireball as it ascends up into the heavens.
It's a wonderful sight to behold.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is not a thing a sane man would do. The Doomsday Machine is designed to trigger itself automatically.
But surely you can disarm it somehow?
No, it is designed to explode if any attempt is ever made to untrigger it automatically.
Ah, it's an obvious common trick, Mr. President. We're wasting valuable time.
After a few preliminary tests, Fermi gave the order to withdraw the control rod another foot. We knew that was going to be the real test.
They finally decided to shut the door down. The nerves of the system were burning below. The nerves of the people were starting to go. The phone line went dead, the computer went down. The smoke poured up black from the fire underground.
Warning, extreme emergency. Comments on his reaction on that day.
So what do you say, Bob?
Well, the scene wasn't very exciting. Actually, people were very calm. I think there was a general confidence in the fact that the pile would go critical. And so there was no gnashing of teeth or tearing of hair or anything of that sort. It was very calm.
God bless America!
It's only been lately the facts have been known. An atomic reactor went out of control and threatened the lives of 10,000 souls. The crisis began just a while before noon, where the wires led into the main control room. A workman brought flame in too close to a wire and carelessly started the building on fire.
The fiery destruction of atomic warfare summed up in Revelation 9:18. By these three was the third part of men killed. By the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone.
Engaging in the horrifying Holocaust, hundreds of thousands of incendiary bombs fluttered that night. Nearly 1,500 four-engine B-17s. followed in the wake of the Lancasters and dropped their load.
The last war is one of fight. Psalm 97:3, a fire goeth before. Isaiah 66:15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire. Ezekiel 20:47, the flaming flame shall not be quenched. Zephaniah 1:18, the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy.
And nothing quite cleanses like fire.
Such horrendous pace begin to leap 30 and 35,000 feet into the heavens. Temperatures of 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit quickly melted almost everything in sight. It created a hurricane force that started to suck in all the air from the surrounding areas. Hundreds of thousands went into their bomb shelters. Not one single one of them survived. Not one. They were all baked, just like a chicken would have been baked in an oven.
Where nuclear heat can beguile the elite.
In a creme de la creme crematorium.
The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud yea and all that do wickedly shall be stubble.
Over 100,000 human beings died in that horrible, hellish week of death, inferno, and destruction. And the thing that characterized the memory of the night were the thousands upon thousands of odd and strange marks on the streets and on the sidewalks that could not be explained. And they finally found out the hurricane winds blowing up to over 150 miles an hour, created by the suction force of that inferno, would suck the human beings toward its middle. They would have to let go the poles are that which they were holding to. And they would be flung on the ground and their fingers would try to grab the concrete. And it would leave a bloody trail as the flesh was torn off. And they were sucked into the conflagration and they died.
Completely contaminated by massive radiation.
Oh,
completely contaminated by massive radiation.
Safety rods came from his orbit, and you could see the putter move right back to zero. The rattle of the counters fell to a slow series of clicks. For the first time, atomic power had been released. It had been controlled and stopped.
How do we know that?
We have moved far to tame for peaceful uses the mighty forces unloosed when this atom was split, and we have only just begun.
Is confronted with this, the nuclear bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the cobalt bomb, the laser beam. Who will solve these problems? There's no immediate solution. Now you stop and think just a second. Do you think we can solve the problems of the world and yet keep right on preparing for nuclear war as we've never prepared for it before? Are you advocating we throw our weapons? Oh, no, no, I'm not advocating any such thing that we throw our weapons into the sea and we'll study war no more. And the munition factories will no longer produce their shells and their guns and their rattling machine guns and their planes and their bombers and their tanks and their mortars. And when the boys will no longer be called to die, there will be a man at the head of it. His name's
Bob.
Cool.
This station, in cooperation with the Atomic Energy Commission's Argonne National Laboratory, has presented
Bob's
Atomic
Slack Time Funhouse.
This has been a special broadcast commemorating the 25th anniversary of the successful achievement of a controlled nuclear chain reaction tube.
Boy, what a totally rad show tonight was. Up and at 'em, indeed. Ooh, ow, but I forgot about how dark colors absorb all those burning gamma rays. I'm gonna remember these leopard-spotted hot bands for a long, long time. Well, let's just get to the irradiated meat of the matter, why don't we? We started out with atomic year 25. Oh yes, that had a lot of clips in it, with the real voices of real atomic scientists, the real halting, stammering, yammering voices of the scientists. Oh, let's hope they made more sense on paper. Ooh, and yes, that first song that we started out with, that was Trench Mouth telling us about the effects of radiation. Oh, but the real heads up. Oh, that came totally out of left field from Blood, Sweat, and Tears with Nuclear Blues. Oh, 1980 was really tough on those classic rock acts. Oh, they're painted like muscle men standing in some apocalyptic wasteland. Oh, it's great. that little bit with the Edmund Teller sample.
Edward!
Atomic Playboys, that was Steve Stevens. Yes, now I can finally get rid of his crappy hair metal cassette. That was all I ever wanted to use it for. A little bit of Martin Landau from Ed Wood. Mr. Wizard and Timmy, that was Stevens and Gridnick. That Vegas-style song, There's Gonna Be a Day? I forget who did that, but you know, that was a religious album. I thought when I picked that up and popped it on the turntable, I was going to hear some sort of, banjo, scrub, and yokel stuff. I didn't expect the Vegas treatment. Oh, he didn't have the Vegas notion, as it turned out. And we did hear a little of that guitar scrubbing stuff, the great Atomic Power by the Lovan Brothers. TSOL was in there telling us about life in the American zone. And Brian Ritchie chimed in with that Sun Ra song about nuclear war, better kiss your ass goodbye. They weren't kidding. And we endured some self-righteous raving by Jack Van Impe, Charles Simpson, Eddie Martin, Phyllis Schlafly, Peter Barkhuizen, good old Jimmy Swagger with that hellacious Holocaust story. Bloody streaks. That man is a powerhouse of entertainment. And that last song is Massive Radiation by Solar Enemy. And we're going to be wrapping it up with a little Kraftwerk from The Mix. Oh, my favorite atomic memory? Well, that was when I happened to stop at a bookstore out on Highway 19 down in Griffin, Georgia. Sometime in the, I guess it must have been the late 70s. When I went into that bookstore, I failed to notice the old fart sitting in the passenger seat of some big, disgusting Detroit chrome mountain of a car out there in the gravel driveway. I also failed to notice the old lady at the back of the store looking through the romance novels. But when I went to check out some science fiction thing, the woman behind the counter helpfully told me in hushed tones just who that nondescript old man was sitting out in the car in the parking lot. That was none other than Paul Tibbetts, the pilot of the notorious Enola Gay. I took advantage of this knowledge on the way out to sneak a peek at him, and you know, Seekers, he looked like no more than some broken-down, haunted old grandpa. An almost blissful irony to realize that the man who was responsible for one of the biggest booms of the 20th century was reduced to riding around with some batty old woman in Griffin, Georgia. We should all be so lucky, huh? Good night, Seekers.